God with him. Go ahead and greet all around you. All right. Church. You know the drill, right? So let me see who's going to be the brave one. Oh, Edelina, introduce to us our guest today. Amen. From? Where is he coming from, Adelina?
Coming from Romania.
All right. Yes, I just say the same. I don't know how to say, but I think it's welcome, right? Okay. Good. Welcome to our church. Who else? Let me see. We do have more guests in the house. Josie, introduce to us our guests. Yes. 15 years. All right, Dua, seja bem-vinda. Que Deus abençoe muito você. Obrigado por você estar aqui. Você tem outra verdade? Visita. They're both from Brazil. They live here. Amen. Welcome, let's welcome them here. It's a pleasure to have you here. Que prazer tê-las conosco aqui esta manhã. Um prazer. Que Deus abençoe. So we have more guests, do we? Let me see. Yes, we do. One more. Oh, wow. Sejam bem-vindos. Um prazer tê-los conosco. I'm going to preach in Portuguese today, okay? To honor our guests. What do you think? Welcome, welcome. Sister Jules and then Winston, we have... Amen. Praise God. Welcome. Yes, welcome. Let's welcome them, church. Let's welcome our guests. It's wonderful. Winston. Yes. From the Luso Brazilian church. Marcia. Yeah. Marcia and Victoria, welcome to the Wayne church. We have... Oh, I'm so happy today. Usually we're just a few Brazilians, right, Josie? Celso? Now we're the majority. Be careful. All right, yes. Praise God. We do. Josh? Yes, let's welcome from North Carolina. God bless you. What a privilege having you here. Yes. And we do have more guests. Sister Judy, they're not guests, right? They're from the home. I cannot introduce Elle as well. That is so nice. Let's wave our hands to Al. We're so happy that you were brave to do that. Praise God. Praise God. So we are very honored to have guests. to have friends with us, and those we don't consider more guests because it's part of the family, right? It's Dwayne is always embracing lovingly everyone that wants to worship God every Sabbath here, every Sabbath morning. We are very happy to have you. Before we pray this morning and start the message, I just want to remind you to continue praying for the victims' family of the massacre in Texas, in New York, and so many other places in the world. It has become so common to hear news like that we may be desensitized with so many tragedy. But let's remember that the Lord may comfort, the Lord may protect God's people. Because never, you would never imagine that you are worshiping God and you are enjoying the fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and all of a sudden, not realizing that you're living in the last minute of your life. You never come into the church thinking, I'm not going to go out here. You have your plans. And the same thing I imagine that happens to all those members of that church. It's a small church. I wonder if that church will survive, because I would say that more than half of the membership was killed that day, last Sunday. So let's pray that the Lord have mercy on them and everyone in America and around the world. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for this awesome opportunity we have to come before your throne of grace, to worship you, to pray, to talk to you, but to listen to your voice, to feel your touch and be transformed. Lord, we pray that this morning be a life-changing moment in our lives. You have a message to deliver to each one of us. Please, Lord, I just want to be your instrument. And we all want to be ready with our hearts open wide that you may come in and live and reign there forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message for this morning is entitled, The Center of Our Problems. So, to talk about problems is kind of uncomfortable, right? Uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about problems. We want to talk about solution. But in order to have a solution, we need to figure out what is the problem. We need to analyze our lives and see what's wrong with me, so in order that I may find the solution. Is the solution in me or somewhere else? Is the solution in myself or someone else has the solution for me? So the question is, what is the center of our problem? Because we are part of God's body. I cannot say, this is my problem, this is my life, so whatever I do, it's my business, so you don't need to bother me. Sounds familiar? Rude and not true. Nobody can say, it's my problem, it's my life, it's my business. Because whatever I do will affect others around me. Will affect the ones who loves me most. My father, my mother, my wife, my brothers, my sisters. And also my spiritual family. My brothers and sisters. So I can never say that it's my problem. But let's talk about our problems. And another question rise up. And I want to bring that. And the question is there a spiritual cause for our problems? Is there a spiritual cause? Can I find that the problems that we as individuals or we as part of a family or we as part of our church, can we find that the cause of this problem is spiritual? And another question could be that the problem we have be a lack of the Holy Spirit. We learned about a month ago that Jesus is very eager to give us the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And we will see that there is passage in the Word of God that Jesus is saying, ask and you shall receive. But it's not a one-time request. You need to persist and continually ask God for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So could it be that my problem, our problem, be the lack of the Holy Spirit? Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I have it that on the screen, but if you want to just confirm in your Bible, that would be great. It's very hard words to listen. It is very tough. I see that our brother James, he was very direct. He was very tough in his way of saying. I am sure that he didn't have Pastor Montero's temper. He was more direct. It's difficult for me to be as direct as he is. And I'm gonna use his words and the word of God this morning. And look what he says to his church. And it applies to us. He's here as well. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. He continues saying, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. He couldn't be more precise, direct than this, right? Well, why there is so much fights quarrels among you? Why there is so much complaining, so much unsatisfaction, unhappiness in God's people today? It's a reality. How many times I see people trying to find a better place where he could or she could feel more comfortable. Pastor, I don't like that pastor. I'm going to come here. I don't like so and so over there. Probably I'm going to find better here. I don't like the way people dress over there, I'm going to probably feel better over here. James says, there's something wrong inside of us, and we need to find what that is. And it seems that everything is centered in our ego. We fight because I cannot have the same that Adelina has. So I'm going to gossip of the life of Adelina, trying to destroy her among the family, because I cannot be just the way she is. So I have my own desires, and when I cannot get the desire satisfied, I'm going to fight. If I don't have, nobody can have that. Right? Because I'm not different from anybody else. So if I can't get, I'll make sure nobody else will get it. And I'll do that. Oh, yes. Why is that? Why does that happen? So we come to God. Lord, I'm not happy. I need something to make me happy. What about if you can give me a new car? That can probably give me and make me feel happier, right? What about if I come to God and say, Lord, did you see the girls, how were they dressed in the church? And I haven't been able to buy a new dress. So Lord, give me that. I need that. And guys are different. We are more expensive than yes. Do you see, Lord, the car, the new car that Daryl is just driving? That's not fair. That's not fair. You have been blessing him more than you have been blessing me. So please, Lord, I need a new car as well. And James is saying here, you will not receive. Because you ask to spend what you get on your pleasures. Is that the lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Is that kind of feeling that is around us and deceive us? And we fall in this trap, and we don't know how to get out of this. Jesus said this, remember, if you then, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Instead of thinking that we are going to be happier, we will feel more accomplished and satisfied if we can get more stuff, more things. God is willing to show us that what will indeed bring happiness, satisfaction to your life is if you ask for the right thing. And Jesus is saying, you must ask and continually ask for the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is eager to have that. Can you just imagine if you go to heaven and you realize that all the blessings that you needed most and never received, and you learn about it in heaven, that you didn't receive because you didn't ask. That's going to be sad. I think that's why one of the reasons in heaven, not in the new earth, but in heaven, we'll still cry. we'll still cry because we will learn how selfish we were, how proud of our own lives we were, and we're going to cry because I didn't know what to ask and how to ask. Sister White, in The Desire of Ages, she says the following. There are many who believe and profess to claim the Lord's promises. They talk about Christ and about the Holy Spirit, yet receive no benefit. They do not surrender the soul to be guided and controlled by the divine agencies. Isn't that sad? That we profess to believe. We profess to believe and to have faith. And we talk about Christ and we talk about the Holy Spirit. Yet, she says, we receive no benefit. Because we are not willing to surrender. And that is difficult. That is difficult. It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature to surrender. So Sister White says, that is what prevents us from receiving. So what is the solution, Pastor? Let's talk about the solution here. We know what our problems are. It's so self-evident in our lives. We see it every day. So what is the solution? Well, first, we need to do this. We need to carefully analyze the problem and our condition. Are you ready to do that? To realize what is your problem? Because it's easy for us now to analyze the problems of others, right? It's so easy for me to see, you know, the problem of my brother, of my sister. But am I ready to look inside and see my own problem and talk about it and deal with it and to talk aloud about my own problem? That is the first step if you want to find the solution for your problems. Second, look for God's solution. We are always trying to find the solution around us. I just use a few of examples. We may think that if we just buy a new car, I'm going to be happy. If I buy a new house, I'm going to be even happier. And if I find a new job that pays double what I'm making now, what else can I ask? Right? So I have a new car, a bigger house, and a new job that pays as twice as much as I'm making now. Why am I continue to be unhappy? That is the great mistake. That is the great deception that Satan put in front of us. Because the solution is not in us. The solution is in God. And we have to search the Bible to see what is in the Bible that will tell what's wrong with me and where should I go. And then probably, up to now, we can look carefully and analyze ourselves and know what our problem is. Yes, we can go and look for God's solution, but let's take one more step, shall we? Are you following me? Are you ready to take the third step? And is this, how can we implement and experience this change, this solution? That is difficult. When we find the solution, when I find that Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, my disciple, leave everything. Give it to the poor. Sell everything. Give the money to the poor and follow me. That's the solution. When Jesus says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and just come. Oh, how am I going to do that? So let's continue here. Henry Blackaby, I like what he writes. And he says, he, God, could do more in 6 months with the people that are devoted to him than we could do in 60 years without him. If you're lucky, you would be able to do in 60 years. If you're lucky. But many spend their whole lives trying to do something on their behalf. When if you just allow God to do, he can do it in 6 seconds. He can do it in 6 minutes. In 6 days. You just have to allow him. So let's see the three groups of people that the Bible present to us. That is hard to say, but many of us here, and it's up to you to determine where do you fit yourself, where you are right now. Don't look to the other person on your side. It's for you to analyze your life. Where are you in these three groups of people that the Bible says? Okay, are you ready? Let's see the first group. The first group is called that they are the ones that has no relationship whatsoever with God. No relationship. They don't care about God. They even don't believe that God exists. Have you tried to talk to them? Have you tried to give a Bible study to a person like that? Have you tried to talk about the love of God to that person? What's going to be their reaction? They're going to say, I don't care. Please don't talk to me. I don't want to hear anything about God, anything about the Bible, anything about whatever you guys, Christians, do. I don't care. So they are, the Bible calls them, the natural man. They are the natural man. Okay, we were going to read in the Bible what the Bible says about them. The second are those who have full and real relationship with God. They have full and real relationship with God. And the Bible called them the spiritual man. The spiritual man. And there are another group, the divided, or the ones who pretend to have a relationship with God. They are divided. They have a relationship with God, but as well, they have a relationship with the world. And the Bible calls them the carnal man. Do you want to see what the Bible says about them? Let's go. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, the natural men are those who doesn't want to have any relationship whatsoever. They don't even believe that God exists. So why have a relationship with someone who you believe that does not exist? So they are the natural men. And even if you try to talk to them, they will not understand because this spiritual conversation needs to be spiritually discerned. But then Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 2:16 through 17, at verse 16. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And he continues, but we have the mind of Christ. So the spiritual men, that group, they know Christ. They know what is the mind of Christ. It seems that they are so connected with Jesus that they know what to do because they know what Jesus would do in their places if he was in their shoes. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful place to be? To be a spiritual man? That you know what to say, when to say, and how to say it? And most importantly, I think what determines what is our spiritual development, it's not always what to say, but how we say it. Have you noticed that? Many of our problems or conflicts does not come for what we have said, but it is how we say it. Isn't that true? People can tell you the truth, but it depends on how they say the problem is solved, or the problem becomes even bigger. So then the spiritual man, he judges rightly. He knows what to say, when to say. So this is powerful. So we have known two, the natural man, the spiritual man, he knows the mind of Christ. He knows what to do because he feels like Christ does. Powerful. But let's continue. Then Paul says, now in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still what? Carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So here is Paul saying to whom? Listen, he calls this group what? Huh? Babies in Christ. But at the beginning of the verse, brethren. So this carnal people here was not people strange. They were in the church. They were part of God's church. And he calls them brethren. I cannot speak to you as I would like to. I cannot teach you what I would like to teach you. Because what Ephraim just said, you're not ready. You behave just like babes. I cannot give you solid food because you're not able to take of it. The carnal group, they're members of God's church. It doesn't matter if they're newly converted or if they have been their whole lives in the church. It doesn't matter if they are just regular members or if they hold any leadership position. It doesn't matter if they have a degree or not. The carnal could be even the pastor. I'm not going to tell you which group I am right now. But I know where I am. And let me just tell you, I'm concerned about myself. I'm truly concerned. And it says that they are members, and they could be in leadership position. They could be very well educated. They could well know much of the Bible. They could have a lot of instruction or knowledge of the Bible. But they are still babes. So what makes the difference then? What makes the difference between being spiritual and being carnal? If to have the mind of Christ, how do I get that? Remember that Jesus is saying, if you're being evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much more God the Father is willing to give you the Holy Spirit. Because that, Jesus knows, that will make a difference in your life, in my life. The presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that will make a difference. We are living in time that we should take more consideration of where we are standing individually, personally, before the Lord. A missionary was working in the mission field, and he had a very old car. And every time he went to start the car, he had to push it. So he had this clever idea. To start in the morning, he would go to the school and ask for 4 or 5 students to come and help him push the car. So he would start the car. When he arrived at the place where he had to go, he would just park the car in a downhill. Or if not, he would just leave the engine running. The time passed, and for reasons of health, Dr. Jackson received the new missionary that would replace him. And he went and tried to teach this young man how the car would work. And the young man thought, why is that, Dr. Jackson? Can I just see the engine? What's going on? And they pop up the hood. And the young man looked and just tied the cable that connected to the source of power. Try now, Dr. Jackson. And the car started right away. The power was there. The power was available. But the connection was not good. You see what happened to us. The power is available. The power is within reach, without measure. and freely for you to take hold of that and let it empower your life and make your life of a life of a victory. But if you have a bad connection, everything gonna go wrong. And you know what happens to the carnal mind is that. That's why this group cannot grow, because the connection is bad. And we have the source of all power available to us, which is the Holy Spirit. And God is eager to give us. How we get the connection right again? Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts." Easy. It's within reach. We can just come and seek God through prayer. It's just pray. Easy? Is it easy? Is it easy, church? Huh? Yes and no. Yes and no, because it's clear there, right? Yes, because it's just to come and to call on the name of God. It's just ask and he shall receive. It's just knock and it will be opened. It's just seek and you will find. It's easy. It's there. But it's not. Because we just don't do it. It's not in our nature. We need to ask God to change us to this carnal mind, that we are trying to find the solution in things, in stuffs, in positions, in privileges, in membership, in knowledge, but it's all human strategies. And come and surrender and give everything to Christ. Just say, "Lord, I can't. Lord, I've been trying to step up from carnal babes in the faith and step up now and become fully mature spiritual beings. I know that is possible if you just surrender. Let the Holy Spirit take control." We drive every day. I drive basically anywhere I go in my district. I drive over an hour. I drive over an hour. And when we pray in the morning, we pray, "Lord, I'm going to be going to Wayne. I'm going to be going to Tom's River. I'm going to be going to Brown's Mills. Come with me." But it's so easy for me to put God in the passenger seat. Right? It's easy to ask him, "Come with me. Sit down here on my side. Take here the passenger seat. Because I'm going to be driving." Because I am going here and there. What about when we come to God and say, Lord, drive me today. Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? What do I need? What do I need to say? And the other day, I just prayed just like that. Lord, I have my agenda. I have my days already planned. But today, take control of that. What's your agenda? What's your agenda? Please, I want to do that. So, one of my plans that I have tried to do my best in the past few weeks, right, baby? What is that? To exercise. So I register myself in the gym, and finally, I couldn't find a gym that I love to do. I'm not a good swimmer, but I love water. And I once back in the past, I took some swimming class, my wife and I. And I started swimming. And I said, I need to be at the gym at 10 o'clock. At 11, I need to be out of there because I have other things to do. But all of a sudden, when I'm leaving and I'm changing, this elderly man just walk in. He just walk in and look at me. He say, hello. I said, hello. And I continue changing. I'm running. What a beautiful day today, right? He said. I said, that's right. And I continue change. But he asked me a question that I was not expecting. And he asked me, what do you do for a living? Right? What do you do for a living? He was seeking conversation, but I was late. I was late. I was looking. Oh, I am a minister, I said. And he looked at me and said, oh, what's the difference between a minister and a pastor? I look at my watch again. They are the same thing, no difference. They do the same thing. Oh, so at that moment, you know, I have a mind to forget. I have a mind to forget. And many of you know me here, right, Sister Jane? Yeah, she knows me. But someone reminded me and said, you wanted to live my agenda, right? And this is what was in my agenda. How come you're so in a hurry when you said, and give me the control? When you prayed this morning, said, Lord, lead my life. Send me where I need to go. And at that moment, I had to give up my agenda and give full attention to this elderly man. And we talked, we exchanged contacts, and I said that I explained of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he now writes to me. And I write back to him. And the other day I met him in the gym when I was walking out. And he looked at me and he opened his arms. He became my friend that second. He embraced me as if he, you know, knew me for many, many years. When you let God take the control, for a moment, you're going to feel disappointed because God will take you probably in a different direction. But you have to allow Him. You have to let Him drive you. Drive you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts. Start doing that today. Be willing to allow God to take control of your life. That will solve the center of your and our problem. Amen.